You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God.
Genesis chapter 22, if you would. We try to stand for the reading of the word. We try to give honor where honor is due. So if you would stand up for me, I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 6. But before I do that, I'm going to grab something really quick. Got it. My hands are full. Before we go into that, I just felt like I need to tell somebody. God really wants to bless you this morning. But I think the issue that you're having is your hands are full of stuff that you or someone else has put on you. And so God is asking you, listen, I have something big for you today. I have something specific for you today. Something for you that is going to lift some of the weight that you've continually carried off of you this morning. But what you have to do is you have to be willing to put down what you carry in order to pick up my yoke, my burden, which my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so some of you this morning walked in just for that, just realizing that you just feel so heavy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So heavy this morning, and I'm here to tell you, God wants something specific for you today. But what you have to do is let go of what you've put on yourself in order to receive what he has for you. Amen? So let's read this. This is Genesis chapter 22. Starting in verse number 6, and it says this. So Abraham took the wood off of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and said, Father, we're missing something. He says, Father, and Abraham says, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. I want you to speak to you this morning on the topic, something's missing. Something's missing, and I want to do a caveat, and the caveat is this, a journey of faith. And so I was going to actually stand here and hold this the entire time, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to do what I feel like God has called you to do, and I'm going to put it down. So you may take your seats, and let's pray. Father God, I just pray. God, I pray for my voice. God, I know I'm losing it for whatever reason, God, but I know that you're bigger than that. You've given me the vocal cord, so you're going to give me the strength to get through it. God, I pray for every person that has come into this place with burden, this burnout, that is overweight and underexcited. God, I just pray that you break it off of them. And God, I pray that you reveal something new in their life this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, so recently, I just want to tell you a story about myself. Recently, I got wood on my shirt. And then after that, Cassie and I decided that we wanted our oldest son and our second son to share a room because we're dumb. As a kid, I was the middle. Where are my middle kids at? Yay, there's more of y'all in this. That's good. But where are my oldest ones at? Yeah, see, and my babies, the babies, hey, see, I know, they're quick. Where's the favorite? I know, y'all, I know, it's okay. I was a favorite until my younger one was born, I understand. But no, so as a kid, I got the opportunity, that's a great way to put it. I got the opportunity when my youngest brother was born, I got to stay with my older brother, right? We had bunk beds, the whole thing. And then whenever he got older and my younger brother got older, I got the opportunity to go from his room to my younger brother's room because my older brother got their own room. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So for me, I never got to be by myself. So for me, I honestly said, man, that was a great time for me as a kid, getting to fight with both brothers. It was awesome. And so what we decided to do is we wanted to put both of our boys in the same room. So what we did was we went and got them a big dresser so they could share it, because that won't cause a fight. Shout out to Amazon. My wife bought it on Amazon. And so it comes in. It's these two huge boxes. I thought maybe she had bought two. Or Amazon may mess up. But there were two big boxes. And so I look at it. It says A and B. I'm like, okay, so this is supposed to be here. So what do I do? Dude, I'm like a kid in a candy store. I don't care if it's not for me. I'm opening the mail. I'm just saying. Because I never order anything. So I'm surprised all the time. Oh, cool. Great. That's awesome. Thanks. And so I open this gift of a dresser, and I open the first one, and of course I just dump it all over the floor. It spreads everywhere. And then I decide, this is with it. So I cut the next one open, dump it all over the floor, and then I start searching for the instructions, and they got cut in half because the idiot that opened it with a knife and cut the instructions in half. Anyway, so then I'm trying to piece the instructions together, trying to figure out what piece goes where and what box was supposed to be. Anyway, it was a hot mess. And so I'm searching. I said, okay, I found it. I'm going with number one. The first thing I'm supposed to do, find A, B, and C. Okay, there's A, there's B, no C. So I'm digging through everything. A, B, no C. A, B, no C. And I'm like, there's a piece missing. And I tell Cassie, I'm like, that manufacturer messed up. They do this all the time. Blame the manufacturer. And so I told Cassie, I said, look, the manufacturer messed up. They didn't put this piece in here, and they're not cool because I spent a lot of time looking for this piece. And she rolls her eyes like a good wife does. And she said, it's in there. It's in there. You got in a hurry. You tried to get to the end before you began. And so because of that, now you have to clean up your mess. So I understand what Isaac feels like. Because in this, Isaac is holding wood for his dad, and he sees the knife, and he sees the fire, and he asks dad, dad, listen, here's the thing. I know we've done this before. We've done sacrifices before. I know we're missing something. Something is missing. And dad says, no, we're cool. I got it. I'll figure it out. God's got us. No. You don't understand. The manufacturer messed up because there's supposed to be something here, and I don't understand it. So I understand where he's coming from, because in that same situation, it happened to me. And I think some of you came in today with it happening to you. You feel like God has called you to something specific, but you don't have all the pieces. And so what you do is you either throw it all away, or you try to build something that isn't what the manufacturer said it was supposed to look like, because you don't want to wait on the pieces. So let's get into this. Are y'all with me? Does that make sense? Before we get into this, I want to give you some background. Most of us know this. It's in Genesis. So this story is basically about this old couple, Abram and Sarai. Abram and Sarai feared God. They go through their life about 75 years old, lived a good life. God comes to Abram and says, hey, I'm going to do something for you. I want to bless you with a child. And not only am I going to bless you with a child, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you so many generations under you that they're going to be like the sand on the shore. It's going to be phenomenal. And Abram was like, say what? I'm 75 years old. I don't have one kid. But now you're telling me, you're giving this to me now? Why would you not have given that to me when I was 20? That way I could see their life. Why would you have not given it to me sooner? And so what we tend to do, church, is when we get blessed, we're upset because it didn't come sooner. Instead of saying, I wasn't ready when I was 20. I wasn't ready when I was 30. I wasn't ready when I was 40. But now that I'm in the season that I'm in, God has given me a gift, and I'm going to walk it out the way he's called me to. Does that make sense? And so I could just imagine Abram kind of getting upset, but he doesn't. He said, you know what? Let's clap our hands. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just walk this thing out. She was already pregnant. No, she wasn't. It happened in a week. No. It happened in a month. No. It actually happened in the first year. No, it did not. If you study this, it took 25 years. 25. He was 75 when God had promised it to him. He was 100 when she finally got pregnant. That would mess me up. The problem, listen, the problem is this. If you study this, you realize there's another little boy named Ishmael. And we won't even go into that. That's a whole different thing. But what happens is Abraham Abraham at this point and Sarah at this point to decide to take it upon themselves because God's timeline was different than theirs. And so then what happens is they have to explain who he is. And some of you came into this place this morning trying to explain your situation, trying to explain kids, trying to explain mess-ups to issues that you shouldn't have had, but the reason that you're having is because you got out of God's will and said, listen, you've called me to be married, and so I'm going to sleep around. You called me to have kids, you just didn't say today. You called me to have money, but I'm going to slide it under somebody else's wallet. Are y'all with me? And so what happens is you get to a point in your life where you start doing things because you feel like you want to speed up the process, but what God is trying to tell you today is that you're not ready yet. Let me actually go back. So whenever God gave them the promise of a child, his name was Abram. He said, listen, Abram, because I love you so much and because I'm going to give you a child, not only am I going to name him, I'm going to name you. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to name you Abraham, because what that means is father of nations. Father of generations, that's your new name. You're not named after what you were. You're named after who you're going to be. Then he says, not only that, but Sarai, I'm going to name you too. I'm changing your name from Sarai to Sarah, which means what? Mother of nations. He said, you're not even a father yet, but I'm calling you father of nations. Listen, some of you aren't business owners yet, but today God's calling you a business owner. Some of you aren't married, but today he's calling you the perfect spouse. You don't understand what I'm saying? Stop receiving things that aren't what God had given you. Stop receiving things that God has not given you. So anyway, so then I'll take it a little bit further and talk about Isaac. He says, I want you to name your son Isaac. If you study in the Greek and Hebrew, Isaac actually means he laughed. Why would God name that little boy about being made fun of? And then I start realizing something. And I start realizing that when I see the sun start rising in the distance, and I really think about it, I realize that if we were a little bit closer to the sun, we would die. We would burn. If we were a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze. But for whatever reason, God decided to put us right in the center, right where we were not too hot, not too cold. We were in perfect alignment. And then I started thinking about stars and galaxies and all these different things, and I couldn't help but giggle at the fact that I am so small, but the God I serve is so big, he can be able to not make me burn, not make me freeze, but be just right that I can enjoy his presence. Then I start seeing rain, and I remember the smell of rain. And I don't know about you, but I think heaven's going to smell like rain. I just think, man, there's something, I don't know. It just messes me up. I just love the smell of rain. And then I start thinking about rain and how we have to have water in the ocean, and we have to have clouds in a certain way, and the wind has to be blowing in certain type of direction, and it has to be so cool and so hot, and has to be all these different little bitty tedious things just to create one sprinkle. And I couldn't help but laugh at the fact, going, God, just to water the ground, all of these things need to take place around me. And I realize how big God really is. And so in this whole thought process with Isaac, it wasn't the fact that they're going to laugh at him because he's a mistake. What they're going to do is they're going to laugh in the fact that it is impossible to take place apart from God. And so some of us came into this place trying to do everything that we're doing on our own, trying to push for something bigger, trying to change your own life, and it continues to fall. And I really honestly believe if you would take a second and see who God is in your life, you couldn't help but laugh and know that you cannot do it apart from him. So let's finally get into this. So let's pick up in chapter 22, verse 1. And it says this, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, God said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Everyone say, here I am. Here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. My first point this morning, if you're taking notes, is this, be available. God will give you an opportunity to grow your faith, and the first thing you will need to do is need to be available. Three things. In order to be used, you have to be able, available, and willing. And so the first thing as he was available. Isaiah 6:8 says, "And I hear the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' Then I say, 'Here I am, send me.'" Love that verse. It talks about his only son whom he loved. Love, the word love, actually, that's the first time it comes up from Genesis 1 all the way through Genesis 22. That's the first time it's used in the scripture. He's talking about Abraham loving Isaac. And he says, the one that you love, your only begotten son, what I need you to do is I need you to take him and I need you to kill him. And that seems so backwards to me. It's like, God, you're the one who gave him to me. Now you're wanting to take him away. Well, God, I don't understand why you would take something away that you gave me. And I feel like, church, I feel like as Christians, we get to a point where we start appreciating the gifts more than the giver. We start appreciating the things more than the one that created it. And so I think what happens in this instance is God is saying, listen, do you love me more than him? Because what I need you to do is I need you to kill the thing I gave you, because I need you to prove to me that you still love me. So after this, he wasn't given instructions. If you look at the verse, he says, listen, on one of the mountains, I'm going to send you, and I'll tell you more when you get close. It drives me insane to sometimes get the information. You know, you have point A and point Z, but you have nothing in between. It's like, listen, you're starting here, but you're going there. I'll tell you how to get there. Well, how does that work? And I can tell you for me and my in my mind, how I work, I'm like really lax on like planning. Anybody else like me? Like, I'm like, you want to go on vacation? Sweet, jump in the car, let's roll. Where are we going? I don't know. We'll stop whenever we get hungry, and we'll sleep when we get tired, and let's get. Anybody else like that? Nobody? Okay, a few. Thank you. I'm like, let's go. You want to go? Sweet. We don't have money. It's cool. We'll work on the way. I'll be doing something. I mean, like, that's just me. I'm all about that. My wife is not like that. She's like, baby, let's go on vacation in 4 years. Okay, sweet. So, so what I need to do is we're going to start planning now. And so she has it out. Okay, listen, you're going to get up. You're going to put on your shorts and then your socks, and then you're going to stand up. Then we're going to walk to the car. You're going to get in the car, and we're going to drive here. We're going to have breakfast at Guy's restaurant, okay? And then after we go from the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives restaurant. Anybody else do that? Like that? I plan my vacation around food places. Yeah, we're going to go here for breakfast, here for lunch, here for dinner. We're going to sleep somewhere in there. Like, that's my idea of a vacation. So my wife is not that way. She's like, no, listen, we're gonna plan everything out to the T, know exactly how much everything is going to cost. We're going to look at the restaurant online and see what we're going to eat, and then we're going to calculate. No, it's not that bad. But, I mean, and so to me, it blows my mind. I'm like, that's not me. But for whatever reason, in this scripture, it messes me up, because he tells him, Abraham, listen, you're starting here. I want you to kill your son. Okay? Okay, and then but what's going to happen is you're going to go do it on this mountain, and you don't even know which mountain yet. I'm going to tell you when you get close. That messes me up. But I can tell you, we're talking about faith and the journey of faith, and I can promise you, if you're willing to say okay at that point and not knowing where you're going, what it looks like, if you're going, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to eat, any of that, all that he's telling you is to go, and I'll tell you more as you step. That is faith. Peter, if you recall, he's standing in the boat. He sees Jesus coming, and he asks Jesus. He said, Jesus, if it's you, please let me come out on the water. Do y'all know? And so Jesus says, okay, come on then. Do I go? No, he didn't hesitate. He jumped right over, and I just think he could have easily had an excuse. Well, there's a storm, and what if it's rocky and I slip, or hey, what if the ground is wet and when I'm slipping I fall in, or what if a shark eats me? And so you start analyzing every little bitty thing, and then it gives you a reason not to go. Some of you are so analytical that you're never going to say yes to God because you're worried about what it's going to look like. But what God has called you to do is, all he says is get out of the boat and walk to me. I will take care of the rest. So he decides he's going to go. Psalms 37:23 says, our steps are ordered by the Lord. Oh, I love, our steps are ordered. So if we're going and we're stepping in the right direction, he's already told us, this is where your foot is going to be. And as you move, there's a confidence that comes over you because you realize, no, I don't understand where I'm going, but I know my steps are ordered by God and he's called me to go, so I'm going. Does that make sense? Verse 3 says, so Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. I think he rose early so he wouldn't have to tell Sarah, hey, baby, I'll be back. Go kill our son. I'll be back for dinner. Love you, bye. just, I don't know. That's how my mind works. Sorry. It says, so he rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He split the wood. He's 100 and something years old. But he realized something that we need to learn, and it is this. First thing is you do not hesitate. When God calls you to do something, you go now. Why? Because if you don't go now, you have an excuse why you should stay where you are. The second thing is this, which is my second point, and it's start preparing. Just like Abraham went out early and he started chopping his own wood. He didn't expect Isaac to do it. He had servants, but didn't expect them to do it. What he did is he said, listen, God has called me to do it, so I'm going to do it. I think the issue is when God has called you specifically to something, you try to point someone else that can do it for you, do it faster, do it better, or whatever the case may be, so your hands don't get wet or your hands don't get dirty. But I can tell you, if you start preparing now and you start doing the work, God is going to change your life. So prepare now for what's to come. Your faith will not be built without doing the work first. Proverbs 28, 19 and 20 says this, and I love this. It says, he who works his land will have more than enough food, but he who wastes his time will become very poor. A faithful man will have many good things, but he who hurries to be rich will be punished for it. People want the business, but they don't want no money. People want to be successful, but they don't want a bill never to be paid. People want a business, but they don't want to go through those sleepless nights and the stress to get there. People want the business, but they don't want to try to hire people. People want all of these things. Y'all understand what I'm saying? People want something that looks good. If you look on Facebook and you look on Instagram, you look all over social media, you see people going to Greece and you see them going to France and Florida or Seminole, I don't know, wherever they go. And you're like jelly, like sitting in your car like, oh my goodness, that must be nice. But you don't realize there was preparation that took place to get where they're going. But all we see is we see the result. But I'm telling you, in order to go where God has called you to go, you have to start preparing now for where he's calling you. Because listen, if God has called you to go back to college, don't sign up the last day and go, God, please take over and please pay. No. If God has already given you that, knowing that you're supposed to go to college, you get a second job today to start preparing for tomorrow. If God has called you to get married in the future, what you do is you start preparing yourself for where God is calling you to go. Does that make sense? So often what we do, we're this microwave society. Where you're like, throw it in, bing, done. Oh, it's hot. Okay, now let's, you know what I'm talking about? It's like you expect it to be done today. But what God is saying is, listen, nothing worth having is created overnight. So, what if your purpose is on the other side of your procrastination? He takes a 3-day journey. This is in verse 4. It says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Two things, a 3-day journey. He had plenty of time. He had plenty of time to dwell on what he was about to have to do. 3 days. That would blow my mind. If I'm walking with my son and I realize in 3 days I'm going to have to take his life, that would mess me up. But I feel like that was on purpose, because if God said just go right outside and do it, it wouldn't have made him create a process to get where he was going. It wouldn't have created this internal struggle within himself going, okay, God, I love you, but this is my firstborn. I love you, but this is, and so there was a created struggle that was going on inside of him. And so that was on purpose. Some of you are going through an issue right now and you're struggling with it. Let me say it like this. If If God is testing you and it's getting harder, congratulations, that means you're doing something right. Because here's what I want you to see is if it's the same thing over and over and over and you always fail it over and over and over, your relationship with Christ is not growing. But as soon as it's like, God, that man, I just went through that. That's hard. And all of a sudden it's something else. And then it's something else. Man, I just everybody's out. No, what's happening is God is allowing you to be tested in an area to grow your faith, to trust him more and you less. Does that make sense? Are y'all with me? So the three-day journey, y'all remember 3 days because I'll touch back on that later. The next thing says, stay here with the donkey. He's talking about his two young servants. It says, stay here. Stay here. We're leaving. Stay here. We're going. Stay here. You have to leave people behind who cannot breathe the altitude that God has called you to breathe. Listen. Ooh, listen. You have to be willing to leave people behind to walk where God is calling you to walk. Because he's calling you to walk a mountain. He's calling you to climb something, to do something big. And you realize down at the bottom, listen, I love you guys. Y'all are my best friends. But listen, you are not. Come on, somebody, listen. You cannot go with me because what's going to happen is if they were to have gone, this is my mind talking. If they were to have gone, they would have told Abraham what he should and shouldn't do. And it all comes out of their life experiences. But what happens is if he leaves them there, the only voice he hears talking to him at that point when he gets to the peak of that mountain is God. So some of you have to be able to leave some of the people that you know are not good for you down at the bottom of the hill and say, God, I'm going. I'm walking up the mountain. I'm doing what you call me to do. I'm running up it, and it's okay if they stay behind. Some of you, the reason you continually struggle in the same area is because you continue to allow the people around you to have influence in what you do. As soon as you say, I don't care what you think, all I care is what he thinks, I guarantee your life will shift. So, verse 6 says, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8 says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. I want to go back really fast on one thing and that I didn't touch on, but I don't want you to miss it. He told his two servants, listen, you stay here. Me and my son are going up, and we will come back down. Did you catch that? He said, listen, we will come down. So do you think, Pastor Brandon, that he wasn't going to do it? No, I think he was going to do it, but he knew that whatever it was going to look like, that he believed based on the promise that God had previously given him, that he could walk that out, going, God, I know that he is my miracle son. Even if I have to kill him, I believe that he's going to be walking back down with me. So some of us need to continue to walk where God has called you, no matter what the circumstance looks like, and start speaking life into your situation. I have money in my account. I have been able to pay all my bills this month. I have a marriage that is godly. Because of why? Because even if it's not there today, you believe it's going to be there whenever you come back around. So one thing about this verse that I just talked about, it would have been easier, I believe, as a father of 3 and a half, I think it would be so much easier for God to be able to say, hey, listen, Abraham, you take his place. Because I would jump on that altar in a second for my boys. I would. Anybody, any other parent? Listen, God, why can't I take his place? God, listen, it makes sense because he's my miracle son, and that allows everything that you've called me to do to still take place if he's still alive. But if I kill him, some of that will have to die with him. And I'm willing to die myself to see him live. But Jesus, I'm getting too close. Getting too close. Listen, but God says, no, listen. That does not grow your faith. All that does is makes you just lay down. and let whatever happened happen. But what I'm trying to do is grow your faith. Because if you believe that you can do the work and you can do what I've called you to do, I guarantee you it's going to be right. It's going to make sense. So, and then it says, one thing that I was going to keep going, but one thing I want to touch on that messes me up about this wood, messes me up, is, and that's why I carried it this morning, is because Abraham hands it to Isaac. I could just imagine Isaac looking like I did earlier with my hands full of these pieces of wood. The one section of wood that was chopped down by his father in order to eventually be laying on. He's carrying the thing that he's going to die on. And it messes me up. Because some of us that came in this place are carrying the thing that is killing you. Carrying the thing in your pocket, carrying the thing at your house, carrying the thing in your mind that is flat out killing you. And you know it, and I know it, and God knows it, but you continue to carry it because it makes sense. There's nowhere for me to sit it. It makes me comfortable. I'm used to this. I'm used to living in this. Some of y'all self-sabotage yourself so much so that you say, listen, I would rather die like this than die embarrassed because I'm not holding it anymore. But I promise you, as soon as you lay it down at the feet of Jesus, your whole life is going to change. Something is going to change in your life today. I promise you. I promise. Every single person that walked in this place, there is something in your life that you can say, yeah, I tend to hold on to my money more than I should. I tend to care more about my kids' happiness than my own. I tend to care more about a boat than my spouse. I tend to care more about something. There's something in your life. Wherever you sit in this place, I promise you, God has given you something specific in your life that you could say, okay, God, I'm giving that to you today. So, one thing that I think is so cool, though, that scholars believe when they start reading this, I always thought, as a young kid, I always thought Isaac was little. You know, I always thought he was young and he was little and he was just going to do whatever daddy told him to do. But then I'm thinking, that little boy carried that wood all the way up that mountain, that little boy would just allow himself to be laid out, that little boy would, and I start studying that. And scholars believe that Isaac was at least a teenager. Some even believe that he might have even been close to 30 years old. They believe he was grown at that point. And so what messes me up is he's walking up there, not realizing maybe what he had signed up for, but when he tops the mountain and his dad builds the altar, then things start to get real. Then he has an opportunity. Because here, let me go back and read this. Verse 9 says, then they came to the place of which God told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac. He bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. What messes me up is Isaac had a choice. What messes me up is he could have said no. What messes me up is he chose to submit to his dad. And so my third point is this, submit to God. He could have fought his elderly father. His dad was over 100 years old. He, even as a teenager, he could have fought his father and possibly overpowered him, but he submitted his strength for surrender. He could have outrun his dad. He was an older man. I'm sure Isaac was fairly fit. He could have outrun him, run back down the hill, being able to go get help, done something, but he submitted running for ropes. He showed his faith in spite of possible flames. I'm telling you, church, you have an opportunity this morning to do something to change your life. And that the easiest thing that you can do is to lay down at Jesus' feet and say, God, just take it. I've tried to do it, and I cannot do it anymore. As scary as it may have been for Isaac, nothing was more frightening than doing it without God beside him. It's more scary, I feel, to Isaac. It's more scary for you to try to be apart from God and live life than be with him and live it. Does that make sense? I'm getting close, so y'all stay with me. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, if you're still taking notes, it says this: therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 7 says, casting all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Verse 10 says, this is back in Genesis. It says, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. It's time for you to do what God has called you to do. And this is where it gets tricky. My fourth point and final point is this: follow through. Follow through. God, I've done this. I've walked it. I've cut the wood. I've traveled. I brought him with me. I built an altar. I've laid him on it. I've tied him to it. Now, God, take it from me. But what he has to do is follow through. Some of you get all the way to where God has called you to, but as soon as it gets hard, you let go of it. You get as far as you possibly can, but then when it starts to pull back, instead of holding on tighter, you let go. And I'm telling you, today is your opportunity to be able to follow through. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says this: the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. Hebrews 11:17-19 says this. It says, by faith, this is New Testament, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Basically what this is saying, is he's saying that, that Abraham was willing to kill Isaac. Why? Because he believed, he truly believed, I'm going to have to kill him. I'm going to kill him, but as soon as I do, I know the God that I serve is going to be able to raise him from the dead. But where would he get that from? If you look back 25 years prior, he possibly believed that his wife Sarah's womb was probably dead, that his body was probably dead. It wasn't able to do what it's called to do. And that's why Isaac is such a miracle, because God raised both of their internal beings to life again so they could have Isaac. And so, of course, in his mind, he's like, well, I'm going to kill Isaac again because God has called me to, because I know the God that I serve can bring him right back from the dead. And so some of us are saying, listen, I'm willing to kill it, God, because I know if you still want me to have it, you're going to give it to me. I'm gonna kill this small business, God, because I know you've called me to be a business owner, so maybe you have a bigger one in place. God, I'm gonna kill this terrible relationship for me, because I know if I'm still in it, I can't have the one that you've birthed and brought up for me. I'm gonna kill this stuff today because I know you have something better for me. So he was willing to do it. He was willing to follow through. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance. I love this. One of my favorite verses: of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He hoped so much in who God was and believed that God had called him to it. God was going to get him through it. He hadn't seen it happen. He literally had never seen a body being raised from the dead. But what he did see is he saw his wife be able to give birth. He was able to see his old body at 100 years old be able to conceive. He was able to see all of these things. And so at this point in his life, he was saying, God, I believe you. I haven't seen it happen yet, but I trust you. Verse 11, this is back over to Genesis 22. And I'm getting ready to close, and I'll get you guys out of here. It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. 13 says, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket. Some of you, when you get stuck in an issue, the first thing that you have to do is lift your eyes. You're looking down and seeing all the mess around you, but the first thing that you have to do when God calls your name is look to him and not look at the circumstance. So 14 says, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. 15 says, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not have withheld your son, again, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiply, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. 18, and your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. 19, so Abraham returned to his young men and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelled at Beersheba. Abraham was blessed because he didn't withhold his most prized possession from God. And because of that, God blessed him more than he would ever imagine. So as I'm closing out, I want to bring something to your attention. First thing, I want to picture Isaac in this story. And just like Isaac, Jesus was the one son of God. And just like Isaac, Jesus too carried wood up a mountain. But Jesus was an old rugged cross he would be crucified on a hill called Golgotha. And just like Isaac, you and I should have died, but God had other plans for us. He provided his son, the perfect sacrifice without spot or blemish, to take our place on that day. And just like Isaac, Jesus took a 3-day journey to his resurrection. And that, church, is the missing thing. And that is the thing that was missing. And that is how you live a life full of faith. So what I want to do is I'm gonna grab something really fast. Just like we talked about this morning, about the pieces that you deserved to die on. Jesus did something better. When you give your pieces to God, he makes it whole again. When you give your messed up things to God, he makes it new. When you give the pieces of you that you honestly feel like are not worth anything, you give it to him and he makes new wine out of it. So if you would, please stand with me.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.